churches hit certain sizes, they grow apart. They split. New Life Assembly was one of them. They had almost 200 people, and one day 110 people left and never returned. Several other churches, we came from a church that grew apart. And I know the reason why we're here. Well, Pastor, we're not, 200 people. And, well, I'm not worried about the 200 people, and we're just missing some people today. But what I want to tell you, though, is, and I've told you this before, I think it bears repeating regularly. We are here to hold back that oppressive spirit. Because if it were not for bodies that believe in the power of God, not every church believes. Can you believe that? Not everybody that says they believe in Christ believes in the miracles or the power of God. What's your point in believing? You have no point. You just want to worship something. And if you don't believe that God is as powerful as who he is, then why do you believe? Oh, well, it's because that's where grandma went to church. Well, now we have why you believe. You need a real revelation of your own. Okay. We can talk about that later. Your children, no matter who they are, have to come to that revelation on their own of who Jesus Christ is. But, and I said, we have been in that community now for almost 19 years, right? 18 years. Almost 18 years. And I said, what I love to watch is how people come with no religious, really religious training. Maybe they have a little skirt with the church. But yet they take what we've taught about faith and the power of God, and they apply it to their lives, and they grow, and they trust God, and they become powerful believers because they believe. So that, in my opinion, is more, because we were just discussing about different pastors and how some, I'm not one that pushes, get out there, let's grow this church 100 times every month. I still stick to the thing, and okay, if we got 100 people saved, what are we doing so that they can stand? 100 people get saved, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to create this discipleship program. How about you just preach the truth from the pulpit in the beginning, and you don't have to have 10 classes every week for different variations. If you teach truth, the truth always stands. So, but anyhow, it was a good time, actually. I hadn't seen him in a long time. It's good to see him. But I just wanted you to know, don't look around today and say, oh, man, what's going on? Don't get discouraged. Just people are on vacation. Some had to work. We knew this. We know it's summer. It has actually quit raining. So people are going to be out and enjoy just a little bit. And yes, sometimes you got to go away on the weekend. One of these days, I'm going to be gone. I just don't get to do it for a while yet, I've been told. I'm like, I want to go now. No. We got something every weekend right now. All right. But be encouraged, folks, because the devil still wants to sort you out. He still wants to pull you apart. He's the big bad wolf knocking at the door. But we're the little pig that built inside the brick house. Our house sits on the stone. Amen? All right, so last week we were reading in Romans. We left off at chapter 2 and verse 13. And we've been reading that. That's what I'm going to do, is read down through what Paul was teaching the church in Rome, who was of Jewish descent. Most of them were Jews. And they got, we know that up until this point, there's a lot of people teaching you had to be circumcised. Well, when you got saved, you accepted Jesus Christ, well, now you need to be circumcised. You needed to start practicing Judaism. Which Paul's like, why? Why do you go back to something that proved fruitless? It just showed us what sin was. So the law is not bad, and we'll read that now through here. The law in itself was not bad. We're going to read some things here, and in my opinion, they can be confusing. So I want to read through here. There's going to be a few things you're going to know. It sounds like Paul's push of the law. Well, it kind of does, but you got to remember, he's still preaching to Jews. We are Gentiles. Nowhere did Jesus say, well, hey, when you believe on me, you got to accept Judaism. That doesn't produce anything. So our faith in Christ would be null and void if we decided, well, we got to wear our prayer shawl. We got to do this. We got to wear our yarmulkes, or else we're not holy enough. There's just so much in the law. Like I said, the whole point of the law was to prove that everybody has sinned. And that's what Paul points out here. Everybody has sinned, and that's what the law did. So if you're wondering why God said, well, don't mix your fruit juices. Don't mix, and besides the fact that some of them can really mess up your stomach, don't mix your clothing. Don't do this. Don't do that. There were certain reasons. Now, then we get into other reasons. Well, he had so many rules on sexual practices. One, they didn't produce life. Two, they were perversions of what God meant. And then you turn around and come fast forward to the modern church, and the modern church says, well, this is all you can have. And I don't need to go down any further on that road. But the church has tried to control the marital bed, okay? You can't do that. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that the marriage bed is undefiled. So as long as you're not doing any of the practices that are showing up in the book of Leviticus and other places where it starts talking about sexual morality, bestiality, all of that garbage is in there. God covered it. Boom, 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 boom. And we cannot live by it, but we now know, okay, that's not good. That doesn't produce life. That doesn't do anything good for us. Hopping from one bed to the other doesn't do a bit of good for anybody. I don't care. Well, I'm just liberated. No, you got, well, yeah, you are liberated from your brain. Reattached to your brain, because you need to understand the bond between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, is strong. But if you were like that piece of tape that my youth pastor showed years ago, kept taking that tape, putting it on something, peeling it back off, you eventually lose yourself, but you gain 10 different people. And then we wonder why today, what the problem is. Well, I mean, come on, our best show. They do great until about three quarters of the way through the season. Anybody notice that? Three quarters of the way through the season, the sex comes out. And it's just boom. They turn into the biggest whores and whoremongers on the planet. And they didn't need to, because the shows were so good without it. But we, as God had pointed out in the book of Genesis, our mind is always on evil. Always. And don't say, well, I'm not. And you make God a liar then. Because you are special, aren't you? Did you ever think about just nudging somebody's bumper in the traffic? Pit maneuver going down the road, they're going, they speed up, they slow down. Or am I the only one who's thought of that? Okay, I will take it, I'm the only one who thought of that. I have practiced it on go-karts. It works quite nicely. At least that little girl was in front of me. She wasn't so low. All right, so open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 13. I'm going to go back up to 12 since that's the beginning of that actual sentence. For as many have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these also, not having the law, are a law to themselves. The law to ourselves, when we were Gentiles, when we were unsaved, unruly, unlawful, even the Gentiles have a moral ability, is what God, Paul was saying here, church. You have a built-in moral ability that draws you to God and pushes you to know Him greater. At this point, it, just being What's what I'm looking for? Loving and kind to one another would have fulfilled the law. And it also fulfills the law on our behalf through Jesus Christ. But that's our number one commandment, is to love God and love our neighbors. So when Gentiles were doing this, so if we look in, you've got people like Job. Go figure. You all do know Job was a Gentile, right? But yet he was a righteous man. We don't know a whole lot about Balaam. I can't say he was just strictly a prophet of God. Actually, historically, does not look like he was a prophet of Jehovah alone. It was just he was one of those people on the planet who had the ability. And, but how about the centurion Cornelius? What about him? What about the centurion who Jesus said, "No greater faith have I found in all of Israel"? Why did Jesus say that? Simply because of the man's love towards his servant. If you understood anything about the Roman Empire in general, if you had a servant, your dog got treated better, okay? Some of you treat your dogs better. Servants were property. You can rape them if you want, nobody could say anything. You could kill them if you wanted, nobody would say anything. Because they were your property. But yet this man sought the Son of God to come lay hands on him. As a matter of fact, he even said, "No, don't come to my house. You just say the words." We need to understand that man was justified because he was fulfilling the law. Because you need to understand that for him to come to Jesus and speak to him like that, that was just darn near treason. The Jews were like dogs to the Romans. They didn't care for them. They were just a conquered people. But in the end, we see that man was a man full of faith. By the way, today, faith is what justifies us, not the law. The law was meant to push people to understand God, to know God. And then to show us just how futile we are in trying to think that by living laws, we're so much better than other people. What are the things that make us feel like we're better than other people? Family names? Oh, well, my family name is Noble. I know we got nobles in here. My name is so revered in this community. I can promise you, we dig back one, maybe two generations, we're going to find your dog pile. And I'm talking about the stuff the dog left in the yard. Because everybody has something. I don't care who you are. I remember thinking how I had to have the most despicable family on the planet. Brothers and sisters fighting against each other, spatting and talking about each other. Then I started getting out in the real world, and you know what I found out? Everybody's like that. It's not a good thing, though, is it? No matter what we think we are, we drive a nice car. If you're defined by your, "I like nice cars," but if your definition comes from a vehicle, you've got a pride issue. "Well, we're all this. This job we got, we only have the newest of tractors. We only have the newest equipment out there." Well, that's good. I'm glad you can do that. As long as it don't hang you in the end, that's fine. But Paul was pushing for us to understand how the law just does not help us be justified in him. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or also excusing them. and a day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Indeed, you who are called a Jew and to rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. That sounds like a lot of people, in all honesty. Oh, my calling was sent here so that I could just, so I can tell you how wrong you are and bring you in and teach you and you know how foolish you are and I can instruct you in wisdom. And then Paul does this to him. He says, 21, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You also preach that a man should not steal. Do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Word also says something like, don't let your good be spoken evil of. Because, how many today, how many people, how many in your own family, I'll just ask you to go to that point, or just somebody you know, will not come to church, will not go to church, will not even entertain the idea because of somebody who did that. I only came back because I knew God was real. I left because of that. The hypocrisy, the blasphemy. They teach this, but yet they acted like this on the other side. So many of us do. Now, it is not an excuse to the people. Because even as Paul was saying, that even the Gentiles, even the unsaved, have within them that nature that wants to make you do right. And they're going to be good people. But we all know that it's not really goodness that justifies us, is it? That just becomes who we are. What justifies us is faith in Jesus Christ. That's why there are good people in hell. All they had to do was receive Jesus Christ. And get saved. And let God just fit, polish the rough edge off. And then we get so many people, they come in, you know, Lord, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. And we all know the old adage, well, I, you know, if I go to church, the church will be burned down. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that people, look at that church full of hypocrites. So you know everybody, huh? Well, I know church people. Do you know me? No. And you don't know church people. We all know that the church really, in reality, is a sanctuary for hurting people. No matter how good people look on the outside, they can wear the nice suits, the best clothes, you know, whatever. They can live in the nicest homes, the nicest neighborhoods, and turn around and be some of the most hurting people on the planet. And when they realize that they are the same, just as the Apostle Paul is about to point out, then God can move them. So, let's carry on. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Paul's saying you don't have to, what you do in the flesh to try to keep the law. If you turn around and break the law, then what you did in the flesh was pointless. But if you, out of your spirit, do what is right, it's counted as circumcision. There, whoops, and 27. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code of circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision, that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now let's point out, we do not become Jews just because we get saved. Okay? It's a whole, that became a teaching, I think our first time we remember sometime in the 80s. But we're Jews. No, we are not spiritual Jews. And that's where they got that from. He was merely making a point that this man didn't do the outwardly deed of cutting delicate skin off, yet he will be judging those who went through all that and they transgressed the law. Because more than likely, the guy who didn't do it, he fulfilled the law because he loved God and he loved his neighbor as himself. Yes. What advantage then has a Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Now he goes on and starts telling us about how God called the Jews. They were select people for a reason. Their life could have been so much different had they made different choices. First, not rejecting God on the mountain. That was their first mistake as a people. God invites you to his house to have a party. You don't say, send your servant and say, you come back and tell us how the party was. You show up for the party. Much in every way, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words, and may overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? And he's speaking as a man. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God is increased through my lie to his glory, why am I still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have come together. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all law brought about. Was a knowledge that you were breaking. That's all there was to it. The tree of the Garden of Eden, I hear people debating on it all the time. I'm just going to tell you my standpoint on it. It was just a plain old tree. Probably was an apple tree, but it was a normal tree that did provide good food. But what made it special is God said, it's mine, don't touch it. When he said that, it now became our desire. If somebody tells you not to do something, anybody else in here got that nature in them? You're going to do it, aren't you? Yeah, you probably are. You can't do that. And it's not because, they just didn't want nothing. They just wanted to show you how much better they were. And that's why Adam and Eve got a good look. Because look, he said, will you not become like God? So we boil it down to the thing. We thought God was looking down on us because of that. And the truth of the matter is, God just wanted to show us his love, his mercy. But God also knew he had to eradicate sin. Why it's taking the time it takes, I don't know. That's a question I've got for God. Why couldn't we have just eliminated the last several thousand years and you wiped out the devil back then? I don't know. His mind works a whole lot different than mine. Sometimes. You know, sometimes I can see that side. I understand it. You got it in me. Somebody who was close to you, who turned around and betrayed you. God said, I'll have the last laugh, Lucifer. Whoever he's called now, he's calling him. I will have the last laugh. I will create a being that is so weak, I know he's going to fail. But in that, I'm going to create a being that is going to bruise your head. And will. Mystery still. If anybody gets up and says, I have a full revelation of the Word of God, I can promise you might want to just actually turn the TV off or the radio off, because they don't have a full revelation of God. There's so much in there that's still. Why? Why did the people think that they could build a tower to get to God? Why? And why isn't God wiping out Dubai? I mean, that's where we've got the world's largest tower now, isn't it? I don't know about you. I have absolutely no desire to be that high up in the air or in something like that. A balloon, a plane, no problem. But you get me in a building that's swaying 10 feet either way? Yeah, you can hang that. I don't like going up in lifts and they move, you know, 6 inches side to side. Yeah. You know, I just... tighten up, like, okay, don't move, don't shake this, don't do anything. Lord, please let there be no wind. I don't need a wind. Because trust me, I'm thinking about that. I have to rent a 60-foot lift to work on my barn roof. 60 feet in the air. This building's 72 feet long. So... right here to there is how high up in the air I'm going to be. Going like this. Hold on. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What law? What witness? Jesus Christ. By the law, by the witness of the law and the prophets, Jesus Christ fulfilling the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. That's why. I mean, you know, like I said, you can sit here and say, well, I've never committed adultery. I've never done this. I've never done that. That's what the rich young ruler did to Jesus. Do we not remember? Lord, I have kept all the commandments since my youth. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. What was that one thing? Compassion on the poor. Yes, there are people who are going to be poor all their lives. Jesus said, you will always have the poor. They don't have to stay poor, and you do not have to support them all the time. We have created a system in this world the last 100 plus years that is detrimental to people. We pick everything. We let people, well, you're not going to, I'm not picking those apples, but you're not touching them. They're my apples. Seriously. How stupid can we be and still breathe oxygen thinking that we can treat people like that? They don't want to steal it. You're just going to let it fall to the ground and rot. So why not just let them have it? Well, they're going to go out and they're going to sell it. I can make that money. Well, why don't you pick the apples up, you lazy turkey? You pick them up. You sell them. You can give them the money. Or maybe you can let them keep some self-respect, gather the apples themselves, sell them, and if they make a profit, hallelujah. But we penalize people. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The law does not require you to live by faith. The law does not require you to do what's going to justify you. What justification does it if I don't blend my linens? If I don't have cotton and wool or gabardine or polyester? What exactly does that accomplish? It doesn't accomplish anything except to show me I broke the law. That's what the law was for. But when I see in there to love my neighbor, bless and do not curse, I'll take your hands to heart. Anybody else have an issue with it? Not an issue. Sometimes you have difficulty in blessing and not cursing. Some of us would just assume swing first and kind of sort out our mess. I'm not that bad anymore. That was the way I used to think. And like I said, I used to think, I never did. Anytime anybody ever pushed me to a point where I said cruel and hard things, I was now totally angry. That was just all I was doing. I had gone beyond it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith? Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. In other words, it's done. It's established. We fulfilled the law through faith in Jesus Christ by, one, we know, loving our neighbor as ourselves and loving God. Now, let me tell you about living by the law. Because there are things you can look at. Well, I don't do this, and you just need to, in my opinion, just get away from the law and figure this stuff out on your own through God. But in some cases, you got stomach issues. What are you eating and drinking? I knew somebody that had terrible, terrible stomach problems. Come to find out, they're drinking nearly a 2-liter of Mountain Dew every day. Do you know what that does to your innards? That's a lot of sugar, a lot of citric acid. It's going to eat you up. You can ask Angela, there was a time in life, boy, I put the pop down. I could put it down, and I swore up and down that Pizza Hut was trying to poison me. Every time I go to Pizza Hut, I would just come back sick. I'm like, I got heartburn, I'm so sick. And then one day it finally dawned, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's not the pizza, dummy. It's the Pepsi. The Pepsi was doing it to me. And guess what? Ding, 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 ding. Because I was drinking it there and at home, or Coke, or whatever I had. So I had all of that acid build up into my stomach and was causing problems. Today, the great thing, oh, we got to be healthy. Let's mix these juices all up. God said, don't do it. I mean, I didn't take chemistry class, but I had mixed a few things that did some bad things. And you got to be careful what you mix. Now, from time to time, for kidney stones, I drink cranberry juice. But I cannot lie. I like it mixed with a little bit of something. I mean, I like cranberries, but when you're drinking a big glass of it, maybe a little bit of grape juice in there. And I do that, but the truth of the matter is, it's even broke down even further, and it's not as good as straight cranberry juice is for me. And I'm going to tell you right now, that cranberry juice works on kidney stone. Clear up infection or any problems go away. It works. But it doesn't work quite as good when it's cranberry. But straight cranberry, I'm going to tell you right now, I love orange banana, especially the little baby bottle.
Yes.
No, you guys never did it. You didn't live. That's all I got to say. And that little bottle of juice was awesome. But you know what's even better? Just straight orange juice. It'll quench a thirst if you've just got a thirst. By the way, so will vinegar. I know some of you don't care for vinegar. But you got to be careful even with that. It's an acid. You don't drink a whole bunch of pickle juice. That's the same thing. But again, a swig will do you a lot once you get done going through your convulsions. But there's reasons why God put that stuff in there. You can look in there and see, hey, this isn't good. Hey, does anybody have any problems with their body? Their body odors. You don't have to raise your hand. I worked with a guy one time. He got in a truck. This was the first day I actually worked with him. Oh, Lord. When he shut that door, I'm like, dude, I have smelled the rankest of Marines, but you take the cake. I said, what on earth? Do you not use deodorant? He said, no, I use it. My wife uses this brand of laundry detergent. I just stink. Got to look, and I thought, I bet it's the shirt. It looked like it was a mixed material, and there are certain shirts that I wear that are mixed material. That's why I'm very particular on what they look like, because you can tell the mixture. I stink. I mean, there's certain clothes I put on, and I start souring right away. I'm like, and all I did was walked outside. That didn't even work yet. There's a reason. Sometimes our bodies react to different mixture. Colognes. Yes. You got to be careful on your perfumes, guys and ladies. You get sick regularly. See what you're spraying on your body. There's a cologne she had bought me a long time ago, and I put that on, and I could feel my blood pressure go up. I would get hot. I started getting sick. And I stopped after a couple weeks of doing it. I finally realized, okay, I only feel like garbage when I put this on. My body was reacting with it. For me, just give me Aquaphel. Just straight alcohol, I mean, it'll take care of any cuts, wounds, mosquito bites, whatever you got. You can even use it as mouthwash. I don't recommend it, but I have seen it done before final inspection. And it wasn't by choice. 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by the works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I really, before I go into this, there's some things I want to talk about Abraham. There's some of his earlier life. We don't know a whole lot about Abraham in our Bible, but the book of Enoch does. The book of Enoch talks a little bit more about Abraham as a young man. Talks about why he was chosen. And I guess I'll try to paraphrase some of this because I'm going to wrap up today here. Because I want us to understand what set Abraham apart. Why was Abraham different? Why did he believe God? First off, Abraham believed God and trusted God in a time that man had turned their back on God and very few people served God. Even Abraham's own father did not serve God. Okay? This was a time of, how many of you ever heard of Nimrod? A few of you heard of Nimrod. He was a king. He's also the king responsible for the Tower of Babel. He's a king responsible for a lot of stuff. But he had become such a mighty king, he turned himself into God. And I think that's why we found out why the Tower of Babel got leveled. And what we see is Abraham turned away. He could have just slipped right in and been what everybody else was, what his own father was. But he had an experience with God because he started seeking God. And you can thank a man called Melchizedek for that. See, a lot of people think Melchizedek was just this king who lived in the middle of the desert that Abraham just stumbled upon. Melchizedek went by another name in Hebrew called Shem. He was one of the sons of Noah. He was the son that sought God. And he was the one who introduced Abraham to God. But he had to believe by faith. Because all he had was a story of the flood. All he had was stories of before the flood. Shem was one of the few people on the planet who remembers the time before the flood. So he had these stories. That's all he had. And he believed and trusted God because of this. And in all the miraculous things that God did for him. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the Bible is, again, it's a condensed version of all that God did for him. As the New Testament puts, if all the works of Jesus Christ could be compiled into books, not all the books in the world can contain them. It's a condensed version of it so that we get the gist. And so Abraham had to believe God. He had to trust God. And God, every step he took, showed him something greater. I mean, stop and think about it. Every night when you came out of your tent, you looked up into heaven. And I'm going to tell you now, folks, we have ruined stargazing in this country. Everybody's got to have a security light. What are you afraid of in the dark? I like to take General Mattis's stand on this. Do you lose sleep over terrorists? He said, no, terrorists lose sleep over me. I ain't worried about what's in the dark. I'm in the dark. You need to worry about the landowner. You need to be worried about the black dog. All you hear is boom, 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 boom. And I can promise you it hurts because he plowed into me. But every night, Abraham would step out of his tent and he'd look up. There are nights, even around here, though, we can still see stars. And they're nothing compared to what they are when you're far away from everything. You get away from city lights and security lights and buildings. It's just amazing, the stars that you can see. I've never been out on the sea at night, but I can promise you, when there's no lights around, you see stars that you're like, I've never seen this many. They've always been there. We just have so much light, we can't see them. Every time he went out there, he didn't have all that. All he had to do was walk 100 feet away from his tent, look up, he could see every star he wanted. And he looked up there and God said, every one of them, your children will be like. That's your descendants. That's your promise from God that your children will be like that. Think about it for just a minute. What he must have witnessed. And we haven't even gotten to the sacrificing of his son. Ever. Talking about an angel stopping him, grabbing him by the hand before he plunged the knife and bled his son. One moment away. Half a heartbeat. Things that God did. And he just kept having to trust God. And we think, well, I've been trusting God for 2 months or something. I'll tell you what, when you hit 25 years believing for the same thing, Let me know. Because that's how long he believed for his son. At least through Sarah. We all know he had none of them. And later on, he had other children. But we're justified through faith in Jesus Christ, through what Jesus Christ has done. What we have to do is start walking that. Yeah, if you want to look in the law, I encourage you to look at the law. But understand this, if you're going to judge one person according to the law, you are judged yourself by the whole law. Don't get that, right? So that's the point I've been trying to make. But not only that, it's understanding that we're not judged by the law. We're not living by the law. We know to do good, and when we don't do good, it's sin. That's what the Bible teaches us. If all God told you to do was to open the door for somebody, that is the only thing, and you didn't do it, they can open their own dang door. Right? That's what we look at sometimes. They got two hands, they can open the door. God said, that's not what I said. I said, open the door. I'm not opening that door. Their arms ain't broken. Then it's sin. Just became sin to us. We're worried about, well, God going to call me to China if I submit. God don't need you in China. He needs you here. He's already got people called for China. He's got the people called for Africa, for Europe, for Asia, for South America, for Mexico, wherever. He needs us to be here too. We need to be that light. But we can't keep living the sloppy grace message of, well, I'm gonna live by grace, and, you know, Friday and Saturday night, man, I'm going down to the Long Branch, and I'm going to have myself a cold one, and I'm going to act like a fool. All right, now how do you cross the line? You cross the line because you think you can go be stupid. Be a light for God. And you can't. We don't have to get into that issue. Because, like I said, it's not really an issue. Not when you understand why. If it's something you choose to do, just understand, I'm not judging you. I would prefer you not. That's what I prefer. Because I'll tell you, here's what I always learned. I got a greater revelation of it after having gone down that road. The guard at the gate was asleep. I retired. Whatever came in my head, I spoke it. Whatever came in my head, I did it. And it really wasn't all that smart. So when we understand all that, folks, we start understanding it all. Now, there are times I can listen to secular music. I don't listen to it all the time, and I will tell you why. I have noticed this. Particularly in certain styles, I get real mean. I get angry. When I start realizing, well, I don't need that anymore. I'm just going to, and I've been listening, I went back to create my own station on Pandora that plays some Christian music that I remember from the 70s. And it sounds like the 70s. Back when Christian music couldn't decide if it was country or if it was going to be kind of a little rock and roll or if it was going to be like Bob Dylan type. But nonetheless, I've done that. Doesn't mean that all the time you're going to come in, you're going to hear David Williams or Petra or one of the other groups. myself and make sure that, okay, I know this person's struggling with some things. They don't need to go down that road. Well, go watch a movie? Well, if you're having a problem with violence, you and I ain't going to watch a war movie. We aren't going to watch anything like Expendables, which I really like. But as Paul said, I will not go there if I know it's going to hurt you. So, that's just some of the, and like I said, we really want to look at Abraham next week, because that's who we're actually like. We became descendants of Abraham, not Moses. Y'all get that? The rest of the Jewish population are descendants of Moses. Abraham is their father, but they are through Moses. We are a whole new wing out on the side, straight to him. We can look at the law, we can say, that was interesting. God, why didn't you want this? Why? What about that? God will show you the truth in everything. You gotta be willing. Alright, let's take it. It looks like it's still a beautiful day outside. Hope you get a chance to enjoy it. We got the truck yesterday afternoon to go to a birthday party, and I'm sitting there in the truck. I said, look. She looked and said, what am I looking at? And said, look, right there in the corner, it says 100. That was the temperature of my, at least in my truck area. It cooled down to about 90. We thought they would never come. Started feeling alive. Like, woo, yes, the blood's flowing. It's not as thick.